Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, called fishermen to follow him. Help us to listen for your call in our lives, so that we, like those fishers, might respond immediately with faith, obedience, and love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This morning is a family service, and it's wonderful to have all the age groups gathered here. And it's good to have some of the wiggles and some of the noises and some of the... That's fantastic. This is the family gathered. And I'm particularly aware of children and youth who are here. And I want you younger members of our church family to know that we love you and that today's sermon actually is written with you in mind. It's written for all of us in mind. So my prayer is that for all of the different generations, there's going to be at least something we can latch into. And there's things to draw and color, and there's certain words that when I say them, I think are supposed to be ticked off. Okay. Now, virtually every nation and culture in the world has produced stories that aren't just stories. They're really, really important stories. They're really important because they're exciting, because they contain important truths, and they help us know how to live. Now, there's a fancy name for those stories. They're sometimes called archetypal or mythic. But whatever you call them, everyone here, no matter how old you are, you know some stories like this. These stories, no matter where they are from, have certain things in common. For instance, somewhere near the beginning of these stories, we are introduced to an ordinary person who is leading an ordinary life and doing ordinary things. And then this ordinary person, who is often quite young, often a young person, is approached by a wise and powerful person. Usually it's someone who's older. And this person approaches that ordinary person and invites him or her to leave their ordinary lives and join in a great adventure. And this great adventure will lead the ordinary person into something far bigger and far more wonderful than anything they could have ever imagined. This great adventure also leads them into a community with others. With others who have said yes to such an adventure, they make friends and they find themselves as part of a community. Now, can you think of any stories like that? Well, here's just a few examples. How about The Hobbit? Gandalf, who's the wise and powerful figure, he calls Bilbo to go on a great journey. And Bilbo leaves the comfort of the Shire, and he goes on a great adventure with a company of dwarves as companions, and they go to fight an evil dragon. Or, well, let's stay with J.R.R. Tolkien for a bit, The Lord of the Rings. Again, Gandalf persuades Frodo to go on a heroic, terrifying, and profoundly important quest. And Frodo finds himself journeying with amazing and diverse companions who are the Fellowship of the Ring. So in the first story, Bilbo is with a group of dwarves and they become friends. In the second story, Frodo is with this amazing group of people. Well, there's dwarves and elves and all sorts of things. Or how about Star Wars, the first movie that was made, A New Hope? Anyone here watch that? Anyone here see Star Wars? A few. No. Oh, no, just... Now remember what happens there. A wise and powerful Jedi Knight named Obi-Wan Kenobi recruits a young farm boy named Luke Skywalker to leave his home planet and join in a great rebellion against an evil interplanetary empire. And young Luke soon finds himself as part of a group of companions who include Princess Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca the Wookiee, and robots named C-3PO and R2... And there's lots of stories like this. You'll be glad to know I'm going to cut a bunch. But how about Harry Potter? There's an orphan boy living on Privet Drive, very ordinary place. And on his 11th birthday, he's suddenly inundated with invitations to attend the magical school of Hogwarts. And the story will reveal that the invitations to the school come from a wise and powerful Albus Dumbledore. And young Harry soon finds himself involved in a world he never dreamed existed, and in a struggle against evil, oppression, and tyranny. In this struggle, Harry finds himself as part of a wonderful group of companions. Again, a group of friends. Most notably, his friends Hermione Granger and Ron Weasley. Now, another story is Peter Pan. In that story, a magical and powerful Peter Pan persuades Wendy Darling and her brothers to fly through the window with him to Never Never Land, where they fight the evil Captain Hook, and they become part of the band of children who follow Peter. And there's the Narnia stories. Remember The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the four Pevensey children from Finchley find a magic wardrobe, which is a kind of portal to another world called Narnia. And in the story, they find themselves called by the great lion Aslan to take place in a desperate struggle against evil and tyranny. And the children, Peter, Susan, Lucy, and Edmund, find that they not only become greatly loved by the Narnians, but they become Narnians, and they become kings and queens of Narnia. Now, there's many other stories we could look at, but you see my point. There's a deep similarity here. And many of the great stories, many of the important stories, follow this pattern of a wise and powerful figure calling a young ordinary person into a great adventure, usually a struggle against evil, in which the young person finds that they have become part of a band of companions, part of a fellowship. And so it shouldn't surprise us that all the really good and important stories will have significant things in common with the greatest of all stories, the most important and the most true of all stories. And the most important story there is, and the truest story there is of course the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The story that we call the gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ. And this morning's gospel reading tells us about the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, Matthew tells us about the birth of Jesus. He talks about the wise men coming to see him. He talks about Jesus' baptism and his time in the wilderness. All that first bit is about Jesus preparing, Jesus getting ready. Because then, after the time of preparation, the action part of the story begins. The action begins, and we read this in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4. That Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men and women." At once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, do you recognize some of the elements of a really important story? Well, first we have Jesus, who is powerful and mighty. This is the Son of God. And he calls two fishermen, two ordinary fishermen, who are in the midst of their ordinary lives, and he calls them to follow him and begin the greatest adventure of all. And then Jesus calls two more, John and James, and they also are called to give their allegiance to Jesus, and in so doing they are called to give all they have for something infinitely greater. And the call of the four fishermen begins the formation of a company of 12 apostles. A band, and it grows, gets bigger and bigger. And it becomes that larger group of the disciples, and bigger and bigger, and ultimately the fellowship of all those who have accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him is, of course, us. It's you and me, the church. For you see, you and I are invited to take our places in the greatest of all stories. We are invited to join in the great adventure, the great struggle against evil, a struggle in which victory has been assured through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Do you see, this is a story we just don't read about. This isn't a story that we just sort of see on a movie screen. In this story, we are invited to be part of it. We are invited to join in this great adventure and for it to be our lives. For in the same way that Jesus called the fishermen in the midst of their ordinary lives, so Jesus calls each of us. And we might not be fishermen, but Jesus calls us where we are, at school, at home, at work, at church, when we're on holiday. It can be anywhere. Jesus will call us often in the most ordinary of places, but the call is always the same. It's follow me. And it can happen at different times in our lives. All throughout our lives, young or old, there are those times when Jesus calls us anew. Maybe it's for the first time, maybe it's for the umpteenth time. And if we are ready and open to His voice and His touch, we will hear His call and we will feel His presence. And there have been different times in my life when I've had an experience like that. Sometimes a very simple thing. Sometimes it wasn't until a little after that I realized what it was. Many will remember a very important story in my life. I've shared it before, that when I was 18, I was in Calgary visiting my maternal grandmother who was in the Rocky View Hospital. She was dying at the time. And on the way back to Lethbridge, I was riding on the Greyhound bus. Now that's a pretty ordinary place, on the Greyhound bus. And it was a very ordinary day, but I happened to be reading C.S. Lewis's book called Miracles, a book in which he was talking about the Christian faith. And I remember leaning back in the seat after reading a passage in the book and saying to myself, you know, I believe this stuff. And immediately, I felt a powerful sensation. And I knew that Jesus was sitting in the bus on the seat next to me. I sensed Him there, powerfully, all the way from High River to Vulcan. I don't know what it is about Vulcan, but... but you know, it's a funny thing to describe. I can't prove that. All I can tell you is that as it happened, I knew that my life was going to be different. And it was. It was the beginning of a great adventure. And in different ways, Jesus calls us, as I say, sometimes dramatically, sometimes it can be very quiet, very simple. But you know that it's Jesus calling you because somehow you feel Him. You feel His presence. You recognize Him. And Jesus doesn't tell us it's going to be easy. He never does. He never sugarcoats anything. When He calls us, it will be costly. It always is. But He does call us to give all that we have for something which is infinitely greater, and it's more than worth it. For in following Jesus, we find life in its fullness, and we find that we have joined in the greatest of all adventures, and we find that we've been made part of this wonderful band of people. We're called on an adventure, and we find there are others with us on the same adventure. And best of all, this is an adventure that never ends. What's the adventure like? Well, again, I'm going to quote from C.S. Lewis. He puts it this way in the last of the Narnia books, The Last Battle. He says, it's like a book that never ends, and in which each chapter is better than the one before. Now that is the true adventure that God has called us to in Jesus Christ. It is the true story in which we are invited to take our parts. Thanks be to God. Amen.